Jude. It's one chapter. The book of Jude. Our main verse is going to be verse 12, Jude 1:12 or Jude 12. Right before Revelation there. Back up one page and you got it. Jude 12. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Dear Jesus, we ask as you open up these scriptures that you guide and direct and let us see what you want us to learn here about false teachers. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, that sounds like a really strange verse to get a handle on, huh? Well, when that happens, many times we have to back up in the scriptures and see what God has for us so we can put it in context and see what's going on here. Now, I want you to look in verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. So this is James. James, I didn't check to see if one of Jesus' half-brothers was named James. Now, he is the brother of James. To them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So, verse 1 here says this is written to Christians. Those that are sanctified by God the Father, set aside by God, preserved in Jesus Christ. In other words, you're saved. Your soul has been preserved and called. You've been called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write to you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, that's what the basis of Jude is this verse right here. The common salvation. It is available everywhere. It's not a hard salvation. It's not a complicated salvation. It is common. It is available. It is simple. It's just faith and trust and putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But trusting Him as your Savior. And He says, I am here to exhort you, to uplift you, to encourage you, that you will contend for the faith. Now, what is a contender? What's a contender? Speaks up for you. A contender. Someone that fights. Somebody that's there for you. He says He wants you to contend for the faith. For the faith. Now, what? Your faith? Somebody else's faith? What faith are we talking about here? The faith that they put in Jesus for common salvation. You have to put your faith in Jesus. Be a contender for the faith. Stand up for the faith. Stand up for the gospel. Stand up for Jesus. Be firm for what you know and what you believe and stick to your stuff and don't be wishy-washy and stay there and don't get pulled off of the way. You stay true. Contend for the faith. Okay. As I'm exhorting you, I'm challenging you. See verse 4? For there are certain men crept in unawares. Now, when somebody creeps in, it's not on purpose. I mean, it's on purpose, but that is sneaky. That is underhanded. They are creeping in like little bugs creeping in under the door and through the sneaking in on your potatoes or whatever, you know. These little, they creeping in. Unawares, you don't see them, you don't notice them. They're creeping in. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Before they were like this. They've been like this. Ungodly men. They've been like this. They're like that. Before they were ungodly men. But now they're creeping in unawares, turning the grace of our God, the ungodly, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Lust, wantonness, getting, having things, getting all this stuff. These people have always been ungodly. Now they're creeping in unawares, trying to change the grace of our God, the grace that He gives you, unto lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They're coming in and they're trying to make money. They're trying to get lust involved in all kinds of things. They're pleasing the flesh. They've always been that way. And they are denying the only Lord God. Our Lord Jesus Christ. They're denying God and they're denying Jesus. If someone denies God, they will deny Jesus. If someone denies Jesus, they will deny God. They go hand in hand. Verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance that you once knew this. How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. He says, you know this. Now, what's he telling? He's comparing history here. Remember how Moses went in and brought the Hebrew children out of Egypt and had all the 10 plagues of all that stuff, and he brought them out into the wilderness, and how Moses went in and God used him and pulled the Hebrew people out and brought them in through the wilderness, and then they weren't believers. They kept rebelling against God and kept defying God and making golden calves and giving Moses a hard time, all kinds of things. They took them to the promised land. Here's the promised land. Oh, we can't do it. Oh, no, they're too big. The giants are too big. They got chariots of iron and all these things. We can't do it. Oh, no. They just crossed the Red Sea and seen all the plagues in Egypt and all the. Then they get up there to the promised land. Oh, no, we can't do it. What'd you do? Bring us out here to kill us and our children? What did God tell them? Because of your unbelief, not a one of you, only Joshua and Caleb. Now Moses got to see it, but Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that left Egypt that actually went into the promised land. The only ones that went into the promised land were the children of all those people because they died out in the wilderness during those 40 years because they wouldn't believe. Now listen, just because God brought them out and brought them over here and put them in the wilderness doesn't mean that they're exempt from the judgment of God. He brought them out of there. They wouldn't believe. They wouldn't follow God. So they're dead. Let's look at some more examples here. Verse 6. And the angels was kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He is reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. He says, even the angels, the created beings of heaven, even the angels that decided to follow Lucifer and didn't stay with God, he says, they're going to be punished. Even the angels. The Hebrew children were brought out. They were punished. They were killed. The angels that refused to follow him, they're going to be judged. Verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Sodom and Gomorrah, sodomy, strange flesh, animals, bestiology, all of those weird things that they did with their bodies. Remember, Lot tried to offer his virgin daughters to the men outside that were coming in to get the angels. And they said, no, we don't want the women. We want those angels. They want the men. The men would rather have men than a woman. They had gotten that far off into homosexuality and all the things. That's why God rained down fire and destroyed them. Now, verse 8, likewise also those filthy dreamers defiled the flesh, despised dominions, and speak evil of dignitaries. Filthy, filthy dreamers. Filthy. Their dreams are filthy. Their dreams are triple X rated. They're filthy. Defiling the flesh by what they do and by their dreams and the actions they do. Despise dominions, power, speak evil of dignitaries, people in positions. Verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Now that's a whole other lesson. Don't get off. We're staying on one subject here, okay? Didst not bring against him railing accusations, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Hey, he could told him all kinds of things. He could have railed on him and accused him of all kinds of evil things. But no, he said, the Lord rebuke thee. He's the final authority. The Lord rebuke thee. Verse 10. Now we're getting close to where we're at here. Verse 12. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. Speak evil. Because they don't know. But what they know naturally, as brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. They're animals. These men have turned to animals. They're just brute beasts. They're just animals. They're not human beings. They're animals. They've turned their bodies after all this other weird stuff and everything else. They speak evil of things they don't even have any idea about. They've turned into animals, brute beasts. Woe unto them! You look up woe in the Bible, and you're going to see a lot of warnings and severe warnings from God. When God says woe, man, you better start ducking and looking because something's happening. Woe unto them. Is it the explanation point? He's listing all these people. It says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perishes in the gainslaying of Korah. Now listen, you've got to know some of your Old Testament history. Cain and Abel. What was Cain doing? Cain was trying to start another religion. Abel brought the blood sacrifice from a lamb of his flock, and it was accepted. Cain brought the first fruits of his garden and tried to offer those to God. And they were not accepted by God. He says, I don't want to do it the way I've been taught. I don't want to do it the way that Adam told me it's supposed to be done. I don't want to do it the way Abel, my brother, is doing it. I'm going to do it my own way. I've got my own religion I'm going to start here. I've got my own way of worshiping God. And God refused it. And he gave Cain a chance to repent. And Cain did not repent. He would not go bring a blood sacrifice. He wanted to bring vegetables. There's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. God has a plan. God has a way for people to get saved. And it's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which the Lamb was a picture of. And Cain says, I don't like that. I'm going to bring vegetables. You don't get blood out of a turnip, they say. Well, he didn't get no blood that day, and his sacrifice was not accepted, and he would not repent, he would not do it right, and he got so mad he killed his brother. People have gone the way of Cain. Woe unto those that go the way of Cain. They want their own religion, and when they don't go that way, they get mad and they try to kill the ones that's doing it right. These people have done it that way. Then it talks about the heir of Balaam. for reward. Notice it says for reward there. Israel was fighting another nation. Another nation was fighting Israel. So they said, Balaam, come over here and I want you to curse Israel so we'll win the battle and we'll pay you. Well, God spoke to Balaam and says, no. Balaam went anyway. And that's when the donkey turned and talked to Balaam. And Balaam got scared. Listened to a donkey, but he wouldn't listen to God. It's a neat story about Balaam in there. Wonderful story. But listen, Cain tried to start his own religion and got mad and killed. Balaam was going to curse the chosen people, the nation of Israel, for money. He was doing it for money. He was a religious man doing it for money. Not a Christian, but a religious man. And then perished in the gainslaying of Korah. Gainslaying, contradictory, opposing, opposite. Korah. There were some people in Moses' time. And he says, well, who are you, Moses? Are you the only one that talks to God? We talk to God too. We want to be like you, Moses. And they brought what they called strange fire before God. They offered up evil sacrifices before God. And Moses says, if God kills you in a normal way, it's not of God. But if He kills you in a unique and unusual way, then we know it's God judging you. Well, Korah brought this fire and all this stuff before the altar and their incense and all that stuff, all mad and angry when they came into worship. And what did God do? Opened up the ground and it swallowed them alive. 250 of them. The ground opened up and they fell right into the pits of hell alive. And the ground covered them back up. Whoa! He's warning them here. He says, you guys need to be aware, folks. Jude is saying, they're creeping in unawares. Beware. Now, verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity. They're doing something good. But these ones that have been creeping in unawares are blemishes and spots in your services. You got a big black spot in your services, in your worship, and what you're trying to do for good. When they feast with you, they've come in unawares. They creeped in. They're like Cain. They're like Balaam. They're like Korah. They're like Sodom and Gomorrah. How many churches have homosexuals standing behind the pulpit? And they're claiming to be Christians, and they're claiming, and they openly say they're homosexual. That's not of God. They're trying to change laws in Santa Fe right now, trying to redefine what marriage is. That's not of God. They are a blemish and a black spot. They can get saved. They can repent. Yes. How many religions out there are serving the offering plate and trying to get people? They are in it for gain like Balaam. Send me your prayer request with the $5 bill. Well, they don't go for fives anymore. They don't know that, you know. I was watching a guy one time a while back. He had this marble pulpit. Marble pulpit. And he was just preaching away. And while he was preaching, I was watching. Every once in a while I watch this stuff on TV, and it kind of gets my blood pressure up. But anyway. And during the preaching, there was people coming up to the podium. And they're going back to the uncle. I couldn't figure out what was going on. Well, what they're doing, they're coming up, and they're laying checks and money on the altar while he was preaching. Go up there and lay that up there. Lay it up there while he's preaching. And every once in a while, he'd pick one up and look at it. It was a good one. If it wasn't a good one, he'd start preaching a little bit harder. And people were doing it. People were doing it. First time I came up to New Mexico, I was up in Chama. I told them I was from Del Rio. And they said, they still got that radio station down there? It was in Juarez, but it had more kilowatts or whatever. So they was broadcasting. They called their addresses in Del Rio, but they was broadcasting out of Mexico because it could be across the border, more power. You're sitting in and get a prayer cloth. Stare at this and you'd see Jesus' face and all these weird things they used to do on TV. I mean, this on radio. What? For filthy lucre. For money. Like Balaam. Cain started a new religion, taking the blood out of the Bible, taking the blood out of worship. And Korah. We're just as important to you. Who what makes you special, Moses? Because Moses was called by God. That's what made him special. He was set aside by God. But they got jealous in their pride. And they blasphemy God in their worship, and God opened up the ground and swallowed them. You see, these are the ones that are feeding themselves. They feast with you. Verse 12, they're feasting with you. Be aware. Earnestly contend for the faith. With out fear. See that in the middle of the verse? They have no fear of God. If Cain had a fear of God, he wouldn't have killed Abel. If Balaam had a fear of God, he wouldn't have tried to blaspheme Israel. If Korah had a fear of God, they wouldn't have tried to offer some kind of new kind of worship. They had no fear of God. That all changed, didn't it? Clouds, they are without water. What's a cloud without water? A lot of hot air. Nothing. Nothing. Worthless. No rain. No rain in the clouds. No moisture in the clouds. Nothing to help the crops grow. They're empty. Blowhards, blowbags, hot air. Trees whose fruit withered. Without fruit. Their trees have no fruit, and whatever they do withers. It does not last. The work of God lasts. When people get saved, it lasts. When people preach the gospel, it lasts. People that contend for the faith, it lasts. It withered up. They have no fruit. And then what's it say? Pulled up by the roots. Pull it up by the roots. Get rid of all the feelers. Get rid of everything. Yank it up by the roots and get it out of there. Twice dead. Without fruit, twice dead. Plucked up by the roots. This twice dead can refer to two different things. It's referring to Revelation, to the second death. But also I think it's referring to here, these people know what's right. When someone comes in unawares, creeps in unawares, pretends that they're somebody else, then they have to know what the else is, otherwise they can't pretend to be one. If a cloud wants to look like a cloud but doesn't have any rain, it has to know what a cloud looks like. If someone wants to pretend to be a Christian and wants to pretend to be a believer, they need to know what a Christian is and they need to know what a believer is so they can have the talk, the jargon, the attire, the look of what a Christian is. They know the truth. They have no fear of God. They have studied what you expect in the church. And they know what you expect. They know the truth. And they come in with deceit and lying to destroy. That's why they're twice dead. There's many false religions out there. that claim to study the Bible. They've got to see it in there somewhere, sometime or another. But they won't acknowledge it. They won't admit it. And they're not going to change their ways. So many people are following a religion. They're following a religion right into the gates of hell. Because they're following a religion. And the people sitting back all proud and boastful. Because they're following a religion. They're not following God. Verse 13. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Pretty soon they reveal themselves. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. You know, a star is a sun. A star is a sun. It makes its own light. Our sun is a star. Those stars you see out there, they're suns. Here they're reserved into darkness. Because they're not there. Verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Verse 15, to execute judgment on all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Look how many times the word ungodly is used in that verse. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, Balaam. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admission because of advantage. Big words, fancy words. Trying to impress you by their speech. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ? How they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after after their own ungodly lust. See, he's told you this before. These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit. Don't have the Holy Spirit of God. Sensual, following the flesh. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Remember, contend for the faith. Build yourself up in the faith. You pray by the power of the Spirit of God that dwells in your souls. Keeping yourselves in the Lord of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Stay, contend for the faith. Stay with the faith. Build yourselves up. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep loving God. Mercy unto eternal life. And of some having compassion make a difference. They don't have compassion. Cain didn't have compassion. Balaam didn't have compassion. Korah didn't have compassion. None of those people had compassion. They didn't care. They weren't shepherds for the flock. They didn't care. They were just out for themselves in their own way, in their own pride, in their own lust. But compassion can make a difference. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Some people will get saved just knowing that Jesus loves them. Some people won't get saved until they know there's a hell. Depends on the different person. Depends on their personality. Depends on who they are. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's Jesus. Holy Spirit. Keeping you saved. Eternal security. Knowing you're saved. To the only wise God. So we talked about the only Lord God before. Our Savior. God and Jesus. One and the same. Be glory and majesty. Dominion and power. Both now and forever. Amen. It doesn't matter what's going to happen. It doesn't matter how many sneaky ones creep in unaware. They're not going to affect the power of Jesus. They're not going to affect the power of God. And if you're saved, He's going to keep you. And He's going to keep you close to Him if you're saved. Now and forever. God is always going to be all powerful, even now and forever. But this is going to get worse. You can't believe every book cover. It says, don't judge the book by the cover. That's right. You can't believe the book by what the cover is. You have to know what's inside of it. Just because it's a church don't mean it's a church. Just because it says Bible on the outside don't mean it's a Bible. Been perverted. They've been changed. Just because someone says, well, I'm a Christian, doesn't make it so. Have they been saved? Are they born again? Do they know Jesus? Has God changed their life? Just because somebody goes to church doesn't make them saved. Just because somebody stands up and teaches a class doesn't make them saved. Just because somebody drives a bus doesn't make them saved. Just because somebody goes to church all the time doesn't make them saved. Just because they ever go out all the time and knock doors all the time doesn't make them saved. They're doing all. Just because they take communion doesn't make them saved. Just because they've been baptized doesn't make them saved. Just because they got a robe and a collar around their neck or something, that doesn't make them saved. It has to be something in here. It has to be a new life. It has to be a new beginning. And you have to know what the truth is, because you're going to contend for the faith, and you're going to have to stand up for what you believe, and you're going to have to know what you believe, and you're going to have to know it from the Word of God, and you're going to have to know you're saved, because I don't see this world getting any better, folks. You better make sure you're standing on the rock, because everything else is going to be sinking sand. Contend for the faith. Stay true to God. One of the greatest things that Brother Wood ever taught me is never compromise on the Scriptures. Never compromise on the Word of God. Never, ever, for anybody or for whoever. If some of these hate crimes get passed about preaching and teaching and some of those things, I may be preaching in jail. I don't know. But listen, Daniel knew when they'd passed the law that he couldn't pray anymore. And he continued his own lifestyle as he always had. He went in the lion's den. God's brought him through it. There's been hundreds and thousands of martyrs burned at the stake. Some of them died. Some of them God saved. We don't know what God's plan is. But they were contenders for the faith. They didn't compromise their belief. You know, waterboarding? They've done that for centuries. Make you swallow. They drip water down and get a rag and you swallow that rag down. That's what one of them was doing. I don't know if the same thing as waterboarding. And they'd get this big old long rag and they'd make you swallow it as they drip water in your mouth and you start gagging, you start swallowing, and you swallow that rag all the way down into your stomach and you're testing what they do. Then they pull it out. Deny Jesus. Worship the crown. Or whatever. They died. Put them on the rack and stretch all their joints out of place. One man, they put a bolt through his tongue because he wouldn't stop praising God as they drove him to the stake. As they had him in a little wagon, and he was taking him to burn him at the stake, and he kept singing. So they put a bolt through his tongue. Then he started humming. Praises to Jesus. Look at Paul and Silas. Look at those that was locked up in prison in Jesus' time. Look what they did to Jesus. You must be a contender for the faith. You must recognize what is fake. Here in verse 19, be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit, capital S. They don't have the Holy Spirit. Or they pray in the Spirit or do something. They don't have the Spirit. Some other spirit they're doing. Your spirit. Sometimes you get around somebody and they just don't quite fit right, huh? Don't quite feel right there, huh? They got a different spirit than you. Keep that in the back of your mind. They're good. Balaam was good. Korah was good. He had 250 people behind him. Just because they got a crowd doesn't mean it's right. If it's different from the book, the Bible, then it's wrong. If you know the truth, then stand on it. Don't compromise for anyone or anybody. Never deny your Jesus and stand up for what's right. That's what made America what it is. But now, I don't know how long it's going to stay that way. There's a lot of proud Americans out there. It's what has made America great. There's a lot of blood that's shed for this land to have the freedoms that we have. Some of these people are laughing in the face of those veterans and those people that died and gave their life. They're just mocking them and making fun of them of what they did and what they laid down their lives, and the mamas that seen their boys go off to war. They're laughing at them. They're laughing at them as they try and destroy what they fought for. Be proud of who you are, a Christian. Child of God, be proud of this country that you're in and stand up for Jesus no matter what happens. And God will help you. God will bless you. God will take you through the fire. God will take you through the floods. And God will bring you out on the other side. What's the worst thing they can do to you? Kill you? Then you're going to go to heaven. What a threat. You're going to threaten me with heaven? Now, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be in this generation or the next generation. But for the few that stand for the faith and back the nation of Israel, God is still blessing this country. Let's stand to our feet and have a time of invitation for what? I don't know how God wants to use this today. But listen, God loves you just like you are. God wants to help you just like you are. And God will help you. Dear Jesus, we ask as we take this exhortation from Jude that we might apply it to our lives, we might realize who's twice dead. We ask this in the name of Jesus.